I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like to laugh. I like having fun.
I'm like, how many people are dancing? Are we done? I don't really feel like dancing, you know? Don't really feel like it. But my job is to inspire and energize. And something in me has to turn on. Some part of me has to know that it's time to go. And let's push up from the bottom of our little peenies and our vajannies. And let's put from our little tiny balls that us guys have. And whatever women have that's analogous to balls.
Big
Let's
holes.
Go, the what?
You got big holes.
Big holes. Let's get from down there and we push up from there. So we'll start doing that right now. We'll go down, squat down. Get on up and squat on down. Get on up and squat on down. Get on down. Get on down and squat on up. Thank you everybody for coming and squatting. And dipping and doing it right. Sit down. We got a big show ahead. Lots to get to. Your Zooms. We got a couple of tricks up our sleeves. And we're always focused and concentrated on what? Making us laugh, making each other laugh, having fun, staying together when it seems like every day all they're trying to do is pull us apart. What is on my head? What is on my head is a sick joke. Courtesy of Victor Berger. Zick, Victor, and by the way, you've got a dog. Present. We're not going to bring that up today.
We don't need to talk about the dog, but I do have a dog in my arms here. Those are hats I thought they would make
Vic, handsome. Vic said we should do Fedora Thursdays, which we do the show generally on Thursdays, so that would be every Thursday.
Right.
And I said, you know, in our almost continuous... What's going on?
Someone was listening to the show.
Whoops. Oh, boy. So... In my life is a constant thread of these three guys behind me. Constant activity in this thread. Sometimes I just turn it off. You put on that do not disturb, say shut up.
You don't have that on mute.
I take sometimes. And also, do you ever notice? You ever notice when you've been sitting around the house, nothing's happening, you're bored out of your mind? You can't think of anything to do, and then you go, you know, I'm going to go out and go to the store, I'm going to go do a chore, or I have to go because I have to go somewhere. As soon as you get in that car, ding, 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 all the messages start coming in, bing, 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 and you got to go, well, I can't talk right now, I'm driving, I'm being a responsible American. Anyways, Vic, everyone throws out ideas, there's constant creativity happening in this chat. Did you see this? Hey, what about that?
Yeah, I can't even keep up with a lot of it. And I feel rude. I should apologize for stuff I didn't respond to.
And so Vic says, how about we wear fedoras? Who am I to say no? You know, let the kid have his fun.
That's right. It's just one day a week, you know?
And so he bought all these fedoras, of course, but they're his size, and he's got a big old watermelon on top of his shoulders.
An oversized bowling ball up here.
And so I'm saying thanks, but no thank you. I'll be removing my hat for the remainder of the show. Thank you very much. Okay. I can't pull off a hat. There's a lot of people think, God damn, Tim, you must be. You're a flawless.
Thank you very much.
You're fucking flawless, babe. A lot of people come up to me and say that. Waiter said that to me. I was having dinner. He says, I don't want to bother you. I know you're having dinner with your family here, but you're flawless, babe.
restaurant
I'm not,
is that?
Because guess what? I can't pull off a hat. I can't wear a gentleman's cap. I just can't.
I think you can, but maybe you're just not used to it. You got to
wear
it for a month, and then it'll look right.
I didn't absolutely love the way I look as I do now until, you know, it took me a while.
I think you look great.
You know? Oh, yeah.
I think you look great.
Thank you.
Speaking of you, Vic, how are you doing? I know you had mentioned a couple weeks ago you were experimenting with these micro doses.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody.
And to you, Doug, a good morning to you.
Good morning, Tay.
I need
to work on my hello.
Yes. Yeah, you got to get your own. You got to get your own trademark sound so we know it's you. No, I've been doing pretty good. I've been trying these gummies. these psilocybin gummies.
Oh, right.
You know, but I told you about it. I talked about it here on before, but like I think they're like working, make me a little happier.
Are you anywhere near your microphone? I can't
tell. Gosh. Okay. Sorry. The dog. Here, the dogs. Let me put the dog back.
Forget the dog.
Let me put the dog back. Yeah, I've been liking these gummies that I've been having. They're like, obviously they make you feel good, but they taste really good too. They're
sometimes
like,
you got to be careful. Those gummies.
Yeah. You can, you know, eat them like peanut M&Ms or something, you know. Uh-huh. They just like by the handful.
Well, be careful with that.
Strawberry flavored, I know.
Let's say good morning to the crew, the gang, the Zoom community. Good morning to everybody. Thank you for joining us. There's so much going on. This is a very difficult, I'll be frank with you, mentally stressful, just exhausting week because
really
of mostly...
really
what?
I feel... really good.
Well, good for you. I just want to get this out of our system and talk about this fucking 4-hour marathon the other day. That we got through some of it, I guess. I don't know.
I don't read.
How do you want to talk about this, Vic?
So what do you do?
Maybe let the Zoomers talk about it.
Yeah, let's just let it.
Like, I want to know.
Part of me wants to just rip it off like a Band-Aid and get through it. Part of me wants to maybe just have it be an evolving conversation because I do have a lot of thoughts about it.
David Bowie.
But
you
beyond.
Fucking leave me alone.
Yeah, let's play a couple of the greatest hits, boys, just to fill our minds with the not nuttiness
from that podcast.
I've looked at the darkest things I could possibly find for a long, long time. There were paintings on the ceilings. I had hundreds of them.
Do you keep paintings on the ceiling, Tim? Is that a thing?
No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what that's from. I don't know if you're just out of...
Wake up.
Yeah, I don't have too many from the current thing. Right. I do have him saying Bowie.
Try to be a good person.
And Mick Jagger.
Listen, I think that there's sort of three levels or layers to this. There's layers, like there's this. And then if you there's the funny part of it, which I think there's like so much funny about it, so much that's funny to us about it, that's not really substantial or substantive, right?
We need some humor.
And whatever, that feels like fair game. Like we can laugh at people for who they, how they're representing
especially
themselves.
Especially powerful people.
Yeah, and the way people talk sometimes, and the way you know, the tuxedo look. I mean, I don't even know where to begin
humor.
With that, because part of me thinks I'm getting baited in, right? Like, are you fucking with us with this or what? Like what? So I'm fully aware that there's that side of it. So
you know, the fingers, is that a new thing?
Yeah, the hand moves.
It feels like speedy, right? Yeah. So that's the funny part of it. There's also a fascinating part of it that this is happening right now, that there is this kind of conversation going on, and that this guy has some kind of intellectual weight in the whatever cultural conversation that's going on in the world right now, because. There it is. There's the sleight of hand.
I found it here.
Multiple orgasms.
Predictability.
You're
with
overweight.
A leaven
you
of unpredictability.
You're ill.
And then that puts you right on the edge. That's
and,
the
and,
zone
you know,
of...
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Wait, the zone of what?
Proximal development. Vygotsky discovered that.
Vygotsky. Like a Hendrix song.
I think it it's fascinating that like he's so clearly... disturbed, and there's something going on there,
right?
And I think he's drastically, or I don't know about drastically, but he's gotten even further off the universe. But his fans who are somewhat cultish, they have to act like it's normal.
Yes.
Like he's putting out this profound wisdom into the world.
Yeah,
and it's this word salad. Yeah,
of
it's all right
wing
talking
ideas.
Points, but he's like using like 40,000 words to say a sentence.
Right, and he's playing all these rhetorical games. You want to play a game? Okay, let's play a game. Let's move the conversation this direction while I'm moving over. It is sleight of hand.
How
it is illusion
like that
it's like these illusions he's doing. It's a game.
Wake
it's
up.
A game. It's a goddamn game for
I think
bloody
you're a fool.
But
wake up.
So I tried
and then, yeah,
to, and people say, "Well, you're taking it out
smoking.
Of context." And I go, "Well, I did listen to a big chunk of it, and I will say that there is something hypnotic about it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is true for Joe.
As all like grifter con men kind
of. Yeah, there is this sort of like Dale Carnegie technique of kind
Barnum of. Barnum kind of stuff.
You know, Joe's delivery is very kind of calming and relaxing, and he lulls you into this like false sense that you're having a rational discussion when you really kind of pick it apart, it's oftentimes nonsense.
Straight white men are not allowed.
Nonsense. And deliberately confusing, you know?
Can't we just communicate?
And I don't really know how much of it is intentional or how much of it is kind of strategic or sort of coming from this genuinely nefarious place. I don't really know. Or if Jordan Peterson is like truly wacko and eccentric, out of control.
Is it normal?
When you watch him and you try to follow any of it, I find myself to be a college graduate, and I have a lot of people that fairly reasonably intelligent, and
Bowie.
I try to follow what he's trying to say, and you get your brain gets exhausted because he's moving in so many different directions and saying so many things that kind of contradict themselves.
Well, I don't want to take advice from a guy who only eats meat and salt. That's like that's his actual diet.
Is that still happening?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Are you still eating your all beef diet?
So there's that going on.
Yes. That, and then also, do you know about the his benzo issues?
Well, yeah. There's all this, of course, there's this fairly reasonable people can know that he has a drug addiction problem that I don't know what the state of it is, if he's off it. It's not for me to judge. And I also will say, like, he often says very interesting things. And I can dig that he can get emotional. Right. I can dig that he can get emotional about music. I can get emotional about music. I can well up about things.
Do you get emotional about the memory of a cover band playing a blues rock album?
Of course not.
That was at Kids Rock Nashville.
And that's where it gets into that's where it gets into funny territory. Yeah. It gets into fascinating territory. I think where it gets scary is the third level of this, or scary, or sort of disturbing.
Man, live.
What's that? What is this?
I don't know.
Just I like it. I kind
of
like
the terrible sounding piece of
it. It's like I can like bop my fedora to it.
Where it gets scary to me is, of course, when it sort of delves into this the climate denial stuff,
yeah.
the unfettered capitalism, the race, gender issues that he seems to be peculiarly aggressively,
right.
You know. Pinheaded about.
He's perturbed when his son was like three putting on dresses.
Yeah.
There's
a whole host of things that he speaks about that I don't know that he has any kind of authority to speak about. And this goes back to my bullshit about fucking get a doctor's degree. And of course, so the whole thing is, and then of course, when I criticize it, now you have the Joe the Spotify Neil Young element over here, and Tom Sharpling said it very well the other day, saying, you know, it's funny to think that there's these clowns out there who think Neil Young thought he was going to actually get Joe Rogan. Of course he didn't.
Right.
Of course he didn't think that. And all the people that saw how he reacted knew. What he was doing was just sort of taking a principled stand about something he believes in.
And I think like that, I mean, that stance could have been done before Rogan even went over to Spotify, because that's just how they treat their artists, like millions of artists.
Right. There's a tremendous,
not getting
I've
a penny.
Spoken about that. Right. We're on Spotify, and this I'm not making any plans to take us off Spotify because, again, in full transparency, I'm ambiguous or agnostic about deplatforming myself. I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, thank you. It's a cash grab. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not
food for your kids.
I'm not sure where I stand about having. Should Joe Rogan have his show? I think my answer is yes. But I should equally be able to express what my issues are with it and complain about it and make fun of it and criticize it. And what's weird is when you see his fans come after us as. You know, that we basically need to conform.
And
if we don't conform, to Rogan ideology, then we are somehow the enemy of freedom or something.
You know, I mean, there's so much discipline involved in the act of learning.
Yeah.
So those are my thoughts. Yeah. I don't know if we can talk more about it. Yeah. I wanted to get it out of my system because it's just it was so depressing.
I understand that.
I was going to say he's not having like sensible people on. It's all these people that are bashing trans people or white supremacists or whatever. So he's not bringing on trans people to talk, you know, and get their point out. So
right. Well, someone's going to come out and say
we
want to
know
what
the solution is. Yeah. Let Joe do his thing. Let him bank $100 million bucks doing this. It's fine, but just
I think and then when,
he doesn't
you know,
care.
The stuff that kind of came out. I mean, it's 4 hours. My one question is, when are these guys taking piss?
There's got to be an ad.
He's got a catheter.
There must be. But if you listen, the other thing that's so like bad about that show, if you've brought this up, Matt, that there's no production value at all. So like they'll just plop in ads like in mid sentence while people are talking. You know, like. Well,
I actually got into it yesterday. I was in a business meeting unrelated to office hours.
Wait, what?
What was with Joe Rogan?
No, but I was talking about Rogan and Peterson. And some guy there who did have a funny accent was like, Jordan Peterson is very smart. And I was like, very is kind of strong. But I was like, and the ads on top of the ads. He's like, I watched. There's never ads. I was like, what?
For God's sake.
Is there another premium?
I don't know. I have a Spotify membership. Yeah.
I was watching Spotify, or I was listening to it like when I'm driving on Spotify, and I don't have the premium thing. There's an ad 5 minutes in. Every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like stopping. Yeah.
Well, anyways. Whatever. So I don't know. There's
Life's
all
tough,
kinds of,
man.
There's all kinds of seedy shit in there that makes me concerned, like, whatever, concerned. It just makes me, like, wonder what's going on where, you know, Jordan Peterson has this extremely aggressive pitch for, you know, this idea that climate science is a junk science or that there's some kind of, you know, everything should be thrown out with the... because you can't know everything. The whole climate is everything
he's
thing.
He's anti...
It's like, you know, who's... I don't know.
He's anti, like, higher learning, but he's a professor also. Like, he's against people...
Right.
Like,
so...
Like, what? Like, what?
Anybody so, on like one that. Hand, that's going on. And then on the other hand, on the other side, I could say this maybe on the other side, or maybe it's all the same fucking thing.
Build that wall.
Is the Paris Hilton fucking Jimmy Fallon thing, which really... dropped me, like really knocked me out.
She brought out her NFT, right? Is that what it was?
Look at this. Can we show this?
Fuck, I don't know where it went. Shit, sorry. I had it and it went away.
Well, find it.
Oh, man.
I'll give the context to it.
Go to google.com, type in...
no, I have it. Okay. Things disappear.
Can you?
I don't know how this doesn't make you profoundly sad.
Do you know what the monkey is?
You know?
Yeah, it's a... I think they ought to make... all those monkeys are... automatically made by a computer, I believe. It's like there's one template, and then they just randomize it and everything, and then the NFT, I guess, holds your spot in the blockchain. Uh-huh. Is that what I mean? And the pictures, like...
Okay, here we go.
The pictures symbolize...
It's so confusing.
I don't understand it. I'm doing a video on it.
I jumped in.
I know, I heard. I'm so happy I taught you what they were.
You did. You taught me what's up, and then I bought an ape.
I got an ape too because I saw you on the show with Beeple and you said you got a MoonPay, so I went.
Okay, stop. I don't know. I don't want to be in this world. And I'm not talking on suicide, Doug, so calm down. All right? I just don't. I mean, and I don't have to engage with this. I get it. I could not watch The Tonight Show. I don't watch The Tonight Show. Okay.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
This is your,
but he's something. Yeah. There's something foggy going on with
his
brain.
There's 100% something going on.
Foggy.
What? How did you pick? Because you can pick your ape.
Yeah, the applause was one. And James Urbaniak did a wonderful video of him being the applause guy. Did you see that? Where he cut to himself holding up an applause sign at this point. It's a really.
Thing that like kind of reminds me of me. But this one, it does. I think we made like another
like
version
nervous,
of it. Where
like you imagine being in that audience.
Yeah, like
that uncomfortable feeling of like.
And there's no explanation.
Am I on mushrooms here? Like what?
Animated version.
We're part of the same. We're part of the same community.
You're part of the same community.
Here's my.
Does anybody want to be part of this community?
Yours is so cool. I love the red.
And also, isn't this the aesthetic of like 2001 era Gorillaz, the band? Right. You know, like
Oh yeah.
Like, and also, what is this?
People did some sleuthing and
sleuthing.
It's believed. Is that a word? Yeah, sleuth. I never used that word.
No, I like it.
It's
like
believed it. He paid $216,000 for that image of an ape.
Well, I also saw a headline this morning that there's some people saying, is it appropriate for him to be basically advertising this thing that he has an investment in, and is there kind of that crosses an ethical, maybe even legal boundary when it comes to his role as this talk show host?
Fuck. I love the captain hat.
It reminded me of me a little bit because I wear striped shirts. I've worn these heart sunglasses because my daughter's just as a joke, they have them, and I, as a joke, I put them on. So I've done this. And I love yacht rock and being breezy. So I'm like, that kind of, and I like the blue.
There's a, like Urbaniak was doing the crowd guys. Like, come on, people. We're live. It's just sick. It's sick.
I hate it all.
It's sick. I mean, what else is she going to go on and talk about?
Right,
I don't know.
Right. But
anyway, so that's out of my system, I guess. I don't know.
Until someone brings it up again.
So let's take a Zoomer, Matt, please. Somebody, and I know we have the city of the day to get to and so much more.
Let's talk to
Mr. Smith. I do feel like my function sometimes can be, and maybe you can tell me if I'm right, some people out there watching going like, I feel the same way, right? Yeah. I also feel completely disconnected and unmoored by this new world that we're living in. And that perhaps,
yes,
hopefully, can provide you some comfort.
Yes, sir.
So
yes,
who's
sir.
There?
Mr. Smith, you're on the air.
Fellas, I didn't know TMZ came on this early. So that was a good little rant you fellas did.
What's he saying to me?
I was talking to...
He thought he was on TMZ.
What are you, Phil? Yeah,
instead, I'm teaching kids. I wish I could be on TMZ.
Oh, you're teaching kids? What are you, on lunch break? What's going on there?
I am on lunch break. I've been trying to get on here for years.
Oh, yeah?
And here I am.
Oh, you know, welcome you guys to the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
That's our city of the day. Kick it up. Kick it in. Kick it out. Kick it up.
All right. Fill the cup up. Going up. All right. So I got a couple of cool things to tell you.
Okay.
Big fan, first off. But I tell you, Mr. Heidecker, about 8 years ago, had an unfortunate event where I had to deliver Korean barbecue, to the Mr. David Liebehart.
You had what's a food through Grubhub?
No, it was through a zine that I was doing, and I asked if I could interview him when I was visiting L.A. And he said, yes, but you had to bring me Korean barbecue. It was about 11 at night. First off,
that's true.
Told
that's
me not to go to
interesting
Ralph's.
Interesting bargaining chip.
He wanted some soda, but he didn't want Ralph's soda from Ralph's because he said they're very racist at Ralph's.
Oh,
he said racist against white people.
Did he tell you that I'm a devil worshipper?
Straight white men are not allowed to talk.
He told me a lot of bad stuff, and that's why I'm here today, sir. That's why I'm here, and I was scared to death of you after everything he told me. It was a horrifying experience.
What did he say? Let's clear it up.
This is a gotcha. Well,
I don't want to deplatform this fella, Mr. Heidecker.
Yeah.
But he sounded like Lower Decker at the time.
He has an overactive imagination, I believe.
I'll tell you one thing real fast. When I got there, they lived in Hollywood, a part of Hollywood that looked like Tromaville or something, right? Mm-hmm. And I call him and he says, I'll sing James Quall to get the door for you. And then this shabby apartment, James Quall opens the door. He's got a baby cockroach on him.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a horror movie.
You got to take care
of
your
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call.
Thanks, Mr. Smith.
This is very important because let me tell you, I've believed it for a while.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm like, this fellow's a good guy. And I want you to know that I'm a huge fan of the show, huge fan of you.
Thank you.
And the more I listen to you, Sonic, you've got some good ethics and good morals.
I tell you, if I had David on the show, which, you know, maybe we'll do one day, but he would,
I don't know if he knows
he would
how
reverse course on some of those tall tales faster than you can.
I think you do
faster
a good
than
job,
DLH but, would deliver a package, believe me.
I think you do a good job at saying, clearing that up every day. You do a good job on
Thank
the platform
you.
Here. I do have a pun for Doug, though, about another city. Can I do that?
This guy's filibustering right here.
You just happen to be here. Doug, why does God make the Georgia peaches so good? Why are the peaches in Georgia so good, Doug? This is a city.
I don't know.
Because that's the way God likes to make them. Making Georgia.
Thank you so much. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is who's teaching our children? All right. Well, behave, all right?
Maybe his smock, behave. Maybe his smock was on too tight.
All right. Today. City of Day is St. Louis. Let me quickly get to our sponsor today because we're excited about this sponsor.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't fuck around with another person.
We're not doing that. Okay.
What?
What? Does this part count?
Huh?
The City of the Day.
Is what?
Well, we got to do the song at least.
Sure. So. Play the song.
Okay. Now it's done.
The City of the Day is brought to you by, this is exciting, Pimento Loaf. Attention Meatloaf fans. Sadly, your beloved Bat Out of Hell is no longer with us, but that doesn't mean the music needs to stop. Because now there's a new loaf in town. Pimento Loaf is a larger-than-life singer who's vaxxed and ready to rock. He'll fill the void and perform in all the cities that Meat didn't get a chance to. Don't worry if, God forbid, something happens to Pimento Loaf. His understudy, Olive Loaf, is standing by. So relax and know that you can enjoy theatrical, powerful rock for years to come because Pimento Loaf and Olive Loaf have got you covered. Please note that Pimento and Olive are not associated with Meat Loaf. They are an independent loafs, but what happened to you guys? You really clammed up back there.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I thought you'd be laughing, hooting and hollering at
me. I wrote it.
I'm kind of feeling a little weird.
You're feeling weird. But nonetheless,
oh, shit. What's wrong?
They are here to bring the house down. So remember, how do I sing this? They are both similar types of loafs, and they will be vaxxed.
No, it's like that. And they... But I won't do that, you know. Like,
How would that go? So they are both
similar types of loaves,
and they will be vaxxed. Okay, yeah. Good. We should have rehearsed that for sure. That's fine though. People love that energy. You okay, Vic?
Yeah, I think so. I was gonna take a. I'm gonna walk out a little bit. Hold on.
You're gonna what?
I'm gonna take a breather. Like get some air or something.
Jeez,
what's going on?
I don't know.
You okay?
Yeah. Can you guys do the show? Like, I'm just going to step out.
Oh, geez. Okay. Sorry, folks.
Watch my dog.
I'll be back. Well, take the...
I'll keep
an eye on the dog. Don't worry about it.
Take the Vic Vision with you. You have Vic Vision right. today?
Is it up?
Take Vic Vision with you in case something happens.
All right.
Get some fresh air.
I'll be all right. I'll be like in a couple minutes. I'll be all right.
Jeez.
My goodness.
Weird.
That happened to you a few years ago. Remember that? You had the bathroom situation at the old office? That was pretty intense.
Sometimes it happens. I mean,
like a diarrhea situation?
I had a panic attack.
He had a panic attack.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. And it really, I mean.
They always do.
I don't want to get into that right now.
I hope he's not having one of those because those suck.
Well, it's nice out right now. It's perfect temperature out there. Let him just catch his breath. In fact, why don't
I got plenty of drops, Tim. I can cover.
Oh, we can cover. I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about my friend.
Okay.
Let's, Wes, do we have Vic Vision working? Let's see what's going on.
Check in on that.
What the fuck? Where? Vic?
What the hell?
Where
that's
the hell
outside
is...
your house, Tim?
No, it's not outside
that
my house.
That doesn't look like...
That's in some kind of other dimension or something. Vic, can you hear me?
Maybe he took a... Glendale has...
This is... I'm a little worried about it. We might be... have.
I don't know where I am.
Whoa.
Tim, can you come outside?
Did he take those gummies today?
Yeah, he's been taking those gummies, I think.
He ate them today before the show? Matt, is it okay to take drugs before the show?
I mean,
Vic, come back to me, baby. Where are you, man?
Are you there? Tim, I am here.
Where are you?
I'm outside. I walked outside. I walk outside, and this is what happened.
But we don't... Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching at home... I don't live in the middle of the desert, capiche? So somehow your Vic Vision has accessed your... It's trip that you're on. This is,
I mean,
whoa. Does anyone?
How many gummies did you eat?
I ate like two bags.
And two bags?
You're supposed to have like one gummy.
And I boosted the other half.
You know what? Let me see. What can we do here? Do you have any ideas?
If I make it, tell my kids. If I don't make it, tell my kids I love them.
Where are you?
We got to talk him down or something. Vic, you're going to be all right, buddy.
I'm just gonna run around
a
little
bit. If you don't make it, I'll take care of the dog. I'll set it free in the forest.
Okay. I wonder if somebody can help. Do we have anybody? Let's see the chat. Is there anybody, any experts in here?
Like a drug expert?
You know what? This is crazy. I'm kind of starstruck right now. We have Hamilton. Is that really Hamilton?
Oh, my God.
Lewis?
Let me see. It looks.
He's in the chat.
Anyone? Anybody
to
help me?
He's in this. I see him right there.
Hamilton.
I don't know if I'm hallucinating.
Hamilton.
Hamilton, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
What are the chances?
What? This is a little. I'm a little freaked out. Just because. What are the odds that you'd be in the? I didn't know. I don't know you. I didn't know you were a fan of the show. And here you are, and my friend Vic is having some trouble with these psilocybin mushroom pills or gummies. Is there something you could say to him that can help him come off the, get back from this desert wasteland?
They're strawberry flavored.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he doesn't need to worry. Vic's going to be totally fine. He ate a fungus in the genus Psilocybe. You know, contains a drug, psilocybin, and that it's a prodrug, but he doesn't need to worry about that. There's, you know, there's lots of enzymes in your body that will cleave that phosphate ester and liberate psilocin, and that is going to enter his brain. I mean, quintillions of molecules are going to enter his brain, and they are going to travel to the cerebral cortex, to cortical pyramidal neurons, bind to the 5-HT2A receptor, 5-HT1A receptor. It's going to activate a signaling cascade intracellularly, and there's going to be, you know, release of calcium from intracellular stores, but he's going to be fine.
Did you say it was a pro drug?
Yeah, it's a pro drug.
What does that mean?
It means it's inactive until it is metabolically transformed into an active species.
Okay, that doesn't.
Is this helping Vic?
Does any of that click?
It's getting worse. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. No. That's not what we discussed.
I don't know.
That's not what we discussed. This has to be helping, right, Vic?
It's helping a lot. And,
okay, good.
Yes, and just the more I think about it, I'm gonna step inside here. Okay, I feel a little better now. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Hamilton. Let me just say.
Thank you very much. Very much.
That
thank
was you very much. An incredible little play much. That we just put on, written by a great playwright that I won't name because he asked not to be credited.
That was weird.
Let me welcome Hamilton Morris to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you right now?
Philadelphia. West Philly.
My old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Do you live there?
I do, yeah.
Let me just say, if people don't know Hamilton, your show, Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia, is that how you say it?
That's how you say it, or Pharmacopoeia, both are fine.
It's a tricky one to say, but huge fan.
I absolutely
loved the show. It was produced by Vice.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes.
And appear. You can find it on Hulu if you have the Hulu experience at home. Is it still up there on Hulu, as far as you know?
It's on Hulu. It's on Discovery. It's on Amazon and iTunes.
Oh, cool.
It's on YouTube.
The premise of the show is you basically go and explore, investigate, discuss, and also, I think most of the time, if not all the time, engage with the substance you're discussing. You use the substance. And
it's happened before, yeah.
Yeah. And you go into all kinds of dark, deep subcultures of the drug world, and it's very well made, very, very educational. It dispels plenty of myths about certain kinds of drugs. But what are you working on now? Because you're no longer doing the show, correct?
Yeah, I'm working in a lab and synthesizing new psychedelics. That is my current job.
Jesus. Oh my, so you've you're in the deep end.
Yeah. Wow. Whole time.
How do you do that transition? Because you're clearly interested in it. You have a lot of knowledge about it. But did you get? How do you know what you're doing?
I've been working in this lab for 12 years, but when I was making the show, it was something I did on the weekends, and now I do it full time because there's so much interest in psychedelics that it's now possible to get funding to research them. Whereas in the past, it was totally impossible to get research funding to do anything.
And where is the research funding coming from? Just out of
different
curiosity.
Different pharmaceutical companies, because there's a lot of different pharmaceutical companies now that are attempting to bring a psychedelic to the market.
So what do you think what do you think that looks like in the next 3 to 5 years? Like a commercially legal psychedelic product?
There's three different pharmaceutical companies that have received authorization from the FDA to test psilocybin for treatment of depression. So if any of those companies succeed, then at some point in the future, maybe in the next 5 years, you'll be able to go to a specialized clinic and have a specialized therapist who's been trained for psychedelic assisted psychotherapy administer psilocybin to you legally as a treatment for depression. But that's still going to be a kind of specialized and expensive treatment that will only be available to people with health insurance.
Right.
So at the same time, there has to be work done to change drug policy so that everybody has access to these things, even if they.
So we're still talking about like a heavily regulated prescription psychedelic experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
What about on the recreational side? Is there?
In Oregon, they're legal in a few different cities in the United States. They've decriminalized psychedelics. In most instances, that simply means that it's harder for them to arrest you for it. It doesn't really allow for any kind of legal sale of psychedelics. I mean, that's a step in the right direction, but it's not everything. Whereas in Oregon, there is now provisions where people can administer psilocin and psilocybin if they want to in certain frameworks.
Right.
So that's the direction that everything is moving.
So,
but also the government is still making psychedelics illegal as we speak. So it's happening in two different directions simultaneously.
The research you're doing, are these new chemicals you're creating through combinations of things, or explain what you're doing? Because there is the purity of the actual plant that you ingest, and that feels so like direct and connected without like the middlemen of other agents coming, other substances coming in. But obviously with Vic's experience here, that's extraction of the plant, right? Essentially, and put into some kind of candy. But you're doing something different.
Yeah, and these things don't need to come from plants. Like LSD, I think most people enjoy LSD, and that doesn't come from a plant.
Most people enjoy LSD. Is that,
since you brought LSD up, is that a thing that's like dangerous to do, or is that safe? Because they always talk about or joke about like flashbacks and stuff like that, but is that a real thing, and is it safe?
Is LSD safe?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's categorically safe for everyone at any dose. I mean, especially if you're vulnerable to psychosis, it could potentially be dangerous. But I would say that it's essentially impossible to overdose on it. It's not associated with death, so you wouldn't want to drive a car while you're on it. You know, there's potential to hurt yourself or jump out a window or something like that. But even that's pretty rare.
For God's sake.
Let me get back to my question.
I got questions.
Yeah. You're doing something different than extracting the psilocybin from a plant, correct? Is it, in layman's terms, as best possible, explain kind of what you're doing in the lab?
Yeah. I mean, so people only know about a couple psychedelics, normally LSD and psilocybin and maybe mescaline or a couple of other things, but there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of psychedelics. So there's an enormous number of things that you can do to these structures to modify them, to make them longer lasting. Some of them last for several days.
Oh, Jesus.
Some of them only last for a minute or two, like DMT. Uh-huh. And so you can play with different modifications of the molecule to augment certain properties to maybe make them better for treatment of depression or obsessive compulsive disorder or PTSD or whatever, or just make them better suited to therapeutic use, because something like LSD has such a long duration that if you have to have a therapist or two therapists sitting with each patient for 8 hours,
it's very expensive.
Therapy is already really expensive for a standard 50-minute session. Most people already don't have access to that.
Right.
So then when you scale that up to 8 hours, that makes it like a really intensive procedure from a psychological standpoint.
Sure. Okay. So what are you doing in the lab?
Making new drugs. Synthesis. Organic synthesis.
From
one.
Right. Okay. From what sources? Like what could... Is that...
Do you pour
from Indole. I mean, usually the starting material is an indole. So this chemical called indole. usually is the or some.
That's what Phil Braun is right now. Indole. It's an inside joke from the show.
Very good, Tim.
And that, so, what is that? Is that a plant or a organ? Is it a moth? Is it what is it in the world?
It's not a moth. It's a naturally.
Are moths psychedelic? Because they're all over my fucking house right now.
One way to find out. No,
it's just a chemical. I mean, the problem with explaining this stuff is it's chemicals. Chemicals that have different reactivities, and you connect them like Lego pieces to create new little molecular sculptures that have different types of activity. Some of them might be shorter acting or more potent or more of this or less of that. And it's the same way you make a psychedelic the same way you'd make anything else, the way you'd make, you know, any other type of drug.
I assume what you're working on is very structured and scientific, and there's a plan in place, and you're taking it very seriously. How do you test this? Do you just
there's a thing that mice do when they've been given a psychedelic called the head twitch response. If a mouse is given a psychedelic drug, it twitches its head in a very specific way, and that combined with supporting information about what receptors it binds to can provide a strong indication based on the behavior of a mouse that a certain drug is psychedelic.
What the hell? Okay, that explains it.
If a mouse twitches its head, do you say, okay, maybe I'll take a lick and get on your bike and ride home?
First step. That's the first step before something is considered as a medicine. I mean, historically, it would be the opposite. You'd look at the head twitch response and you might say that's a reason not to make this a medicine because that's indicative of it being a psychedelic. Traditionally, this is something that you'd want to strip out of any pharmaceutical. For example, there's an HIV medication called efavirenz that's psychedelic, but they spent a lot of time trying to remove that activity because they didn't want people who had HIV to have to take a psychedelic every day. Now it's sort of the opposite. People are using that model to assess whether or not a drug is psychedelic because it's now understood that that can have a therapeutic effect.
This is a little bit of a side chat here, but just because it came up the other day, talk to me a little bit about lithium, because lithium's fascinating to me. I don't know if you've been seeing this in the news, in the Salton Sea, which is about, I don't know, 2 hours south of where we are now in the desert, they discovered that there's just like an incredible supply of lithium, which it's weird that it can obviously be turned into energy, some kind of energy source, batteries.
Must be chargeable.
But what is the, the drug effect of it on people? And is it the same? Lithium's lithium, right? Like we're talking about lithium batteries, we're also talking about lithium for your brain.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's a metal. It's an element that when it's used as a psychiatric medication, it's lithium carbonate. It's a salt of lithium. And, you know, it's been used for a very long time. The original formulation of 7-Up was a lithium-containing
is
drink.
That right?
What the hell?
And it's naturally present in the water supply in a lot of locations. And they've even done studies where they find that people who consume more lithium in their drinking water have a reduced incidence of suicide. So it's used to treat bipolar disorder. It seems to have a therapeutic effect for people with suicidal ideation, but exactly how it works is not precisely understood. It's also a very, very rare instance of a drug that interacts dangerously with psychedelics. Most psychedelics don't have a direct contraindication of some kind, but if you combine LSD and lithium, it can be extremely dangerous, and people don't understand.
Okay, fair warning. Yeah, I won't go down to the Salton Sea and trip my balls off.
Could you pretend I'm like an ordinary dopey voter who I don't understand?
Are an ordinary dopey.
I said pretend though this time. In this case, just pretend. But you make the case or something that we can points to make to people to vote for this and to make it, vote people in who are working towards legalizing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a few things that can be done. Right now, as we speak, the DEA is preparing to make 5 psychedelics illegal. It's going to happen in about 2 weeks. So if you go to my Twitter, you can see a link where you can comment and voice your dissatisfaction with their choice to continuously make psychedelics illegal that is helpful, because this happens continuously. They made 40 drugs illegal last year and nobody even knew about it. They do this continuously in the background when nobody's watching.
Right.
And the DEA has an enormous amount of resources. They received close to $3.5 billion from taxpayers last year. There were more drug overdoses last year than any other year in history. Prohibition does not work as a strategy for drug control. So even if you think drugs are terrible and you hate them, you still should not support prohibition, because it simply does not work as a strategy for addressing any of the harms associated with drug use. It maximizes the harms and actually creates more drugs. So that
you're an advocate. You're an activist in this field. Like, you
absolutely. Yeah, no, I think these things are important. And I do think that, you know, they have medicinal value, but more than anything, I think people should be free to not worry about going to prison for using drugs. It's now, just not a constructive way.
I'm sure it's a question you get all the time. But are you an absolutist about, are you an absolutist libertarian about this? Or do you find that there is room for regulation of some kind, structure of some kind?
I think some degree of regulation is good. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like heroin?
Yes. I think that like heroin probably should not be available at corner stores, for example. But it's clear that heroin is prohibited. It's Schedule One. It's the most controlled substance, yet people are still routinely using it. So whatever you care about heroin, whether you like it or dislike it,
whatever's going on right now isn't effective in
working at all. And so, you know, a more compassionate strategy where there are supervised injection sites. The first supervised injection site in the country wasn't opened until like 2 months ago. And there are resources available for people who have substance abuse disorders. If all that money that went to locking people in cages for using drugs went to substance abuse disorder treatment, I think this would be a small fraction of the problem that it currently is. It's just dealt with it in the absolute worst possible way.
Right. Doug, you had a question?
Yeah, I have maybe a couple silly questions, but what's the highest you've ever been?
Oh, like, please.
I mean, you've experienced. I've watched your show,
Hamilton, and it's a knucklehead convention here today.
I mean, I watched your show, and I love it.
That from a place of peace
but
and love. Of course,
I'm just wondering what.
Well, I guess like, the okay, better question would be, what experience kind of took you to the edge, or maybe even scared you in a way that made you question whether what you were doing was responsible or the right thing to do. You see how I did that?
Mm. I want to know if he talks to aliens like in a DMT trip.
Right, let him speak.
Yeah. You know, I'm very neurotic. I'm very careful with these things. You know, that's, I think people have this assumption that if you do this stuff, you have to be crazy and you have to be, you know, like it has to be like a Hunter S. Thompson type, like going wild situation. Yeah. That's never been my thing. I'm not really interested in like pushing the boundaries of my sanity. Right. For the most part, I'm extremely cautious because I'm not trying to figure out what the highest I can possibly be.
No.
I know that's not your goal. I was just wondering
have you ever accidentally kind of put yourself in a dangerous situation because of this?
I mean, I've taken years ago when I was like 21, I took a high dose of a synthetic cannabinoid called CP47-497, and I was high for days, but it wasn't dangerous, but it was
not pleasant.
It was not pleasant. Yeah.
You were one of the few people out there. It only existed for a very short period of time, but you were actually on the Joe Rogan spaceship. Where were you? Were you out of? Where was that? Is that underground or like way up high in space? I couldn't.
It's like in a very nondescript kind of like strip mall type location.
Right.
And it's above ground.
It's funny that existed for a little bit, and it seemed like it was a self awareness that it was a mistake. And it was like, this doesn't look right.
I'm a fucking bona fide.
I have
moron.
To bring it up just because people are gonna, you know, come down on me and say, well, I've been giving Rogan a hard time lately. And especially his Jordan Peterson guests. And you're a regular on the show. I love what you do. I love what you have to say. And I just want to acknowledge that, yes, you're on my show. I'm sure you'll be on his show again. Do you have any, like, and I'm not trying to gotcha or anything like that, but what do you think when you, like, see some of these wild clips going around of him, like?
Yeah, I mean, of course, he says a lot of stuff that I disagree with. Right. So, you know, I'm not, like, a categorical supporter of
you're
everything.
You're not in the cult.
Or every person that he interviews. You know, I was especially bothered by the Bob Lazar stuff because I think Bob Lazar is such an insanely obvious scam artist. But
which one was this?
Doctor? Are you serious? No, he's the UFO guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's the UFO guy. But man, is this guy a fraud if there ever was one?
Why do you say that? Just off top of your head?
Well, because he knows.
Because the science knows aliens are not real. I was sort of like, believe in him. I mean, I didn't really research much, but I was following.
This is how you get drawn
in. The research.
I mean, if you want to go into it, but it's, you know, his whole story is just like completely absurd, that he has like a secret cache of this element moscovium that he won't show to anybody because he wants to keep it a secret.
That's like a Mormon thing. Like, that's like how Mormonism started.
I think,
right?
I saw him on a documentary, though. That's what I saw.
The documentary is not, I mean, it's all kind of insane to me that anybody takes this seriously.
All right, good to know.
I'm an idiot. Question. This comes up a lot. Everybody, whenever we talk about drugs and Rogan, everyone's asking about the machine elves.
What is that about? Oh, I know what
this is.
Well,
that's kind of what I wanted to know if you saw the
show. Yeah, have you seen the machine elves is the rude way to ask.
I have not seen machine elves.
But what is that
about? I don't
even
know what that means.
That's like when you're on a DMT trip, you see these elves and they give you like, and messages.
That are truly controlling the universe.
Oh, okay.
It's a common experience vision that people have on this drug that people at least say they have?
It's because Terrence McKenna, who is immensely influential in terms of popularizing DMT, described machine elves. So he was kind of the most important person to talk about the subject. And he had this really funny idea about machine elves. And then everybody got interested in it because Terrence McKenna was talking about it. Right. But I don't think that anybody would necessarily see that. I certainly haven't. I don't know that I've ever even met anybody who has, but people like the idea of seeing, like, they like the idea that DMT takes you to a different universe where there are like special, sentient entities that communicate secret information to you, and that is what makes DMT interesting.
And you're from a science perspective.
That's pretty clever.
You're I'm maybe saying something obvious, but your thesis or your belief is all that stuff is simply just happening in your brain, and there's no connection to some kind of alternate reality or all this is stuff that's just happening in your brain.
Yeah, but so is dreaming. So is everything. I mean, people say that like it's a diminishment that right. It's happening.
I'm not saying it's a diminishment at all. I'm just saying like that some people out there find that there's a spiritual connection to something that's not of this earth or that's not of this reality. But
amen.
I guess you can go down a semantical wormhole about what you mean when you're saying these words.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that people have remarkable experiences in the same way that they do when they're dreaming.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that it's necessary to invoke the supernatural to explain it.
Right. I agree. And I'm not qualified to agree with you. Let me just clarify that. What do you say? Do you recommend that people use psychedelics while watching any of my work? Or is that something you should stay away from? I hear a lot of people saying that they experience Tim and Eric while on drugs, and they say it's a very bad experience. But do you have any advice?
I love Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd watch anything while on a psychedelic. Would you?
Yeah, no. I mean, my first ever—I'll tell you—my first ever trip when I was in high school, I did LSD. We didn't know what we're doing. We just got, you know, Beavis and Butthead tabs or whatever it was that they were selling at high school.
Do you smoke cigars?
And stop it. And we were at my friend's house. We took it. We didn't feel anything for the first hour, which they said was normal. And then we started laughing and started like feeling the effects of it. And it was very great, very wonderful. We turned on the TV and what was on? And it was just out of like the most tropey thing you could possibly have on. But 2001, A Space Odyssey was just on TV. And we did watch that for a while, and it was fucking great. So I guess you can. It is fun to watch stuff sometimes, maybe, but.
I guess I could ask about this. took the I took like 3.5 grams when I was in the desert the other weekend. And
smoke cigars?
It took a long time to kick in, but it did kick in finally, and it was very pleasant. And I was like smiling so hard, my teeth were like and I was like crying from smiling. And then I laid in bed because I was tired.
Yeah. I'm sure he wants to hear.
I know,
this,
but I just want to know because it is like. But hold on, because like then I look over at my wife and I felt like I was in a movie, like watching a movie, and I'm like, I'm gonna tell her she's the most beautiful creature on the planet. I'm like smiling, and then she gets in bed, and then I lean over to tell her this, and she bonks me in the face with her arm, and then she's like, Vic, I'm sick, and she's like feeling sick, and she's like, I might have to go to the hospital tomorrow morning.
What?
So then my trip was like,
what happened to her? Did she die?
Well, yeah, I mean, the funeral's tomorrow, like, yeah. So I don't know. It's like, I know you helped me earlier, but like, what easy things can you do in that situation to because you're already under the influence and everything. How do you get back to a happy state from a bad state?
Well, it sounds like something bad was actually happening. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Well, she went to bed then eventually.
Like you can't change reality.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can take to sober you up or whatever. Right.
All right.
Okay.
We're not going to go 4 hours like Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson.
I want
here.
To.
By the way, I already said. Did I say when do they go to the bathroom? I brought that up, right?
Yeah, you got that in.
Is it if I'm in Philly? Can I look you up and we can get hang out or you can
yeah,
show
you
me
can
your
come
lab
to the lab. Yeah, come check out the lab.
I really love what you do, and I love the show, and I am a pretty straight. I mean, I know you are too. I'm like I'm very neurotic about this kind of stuff, drugs and overdoing and I don't know I am kind of opening my mind to it in ways and your show helped me kind of calm down about it because I did have like a bad experience with as I analyzed it. I don't know if I've told this story before, but like summer before college, went to Lollapalooza, did a small amount of LSD or half a tab or whatever, half a hit, and had a great day. And then so the Smashing Pumpkins are on, and I'm having a great time. Okay, again, he wants to hear this, right?
Uh-huh.
But there's a point to this. Having a great time, and then the Beastie Boys came on, and we were quite far back. And of course, it's muddy, and it's like a whole Woodstock thing with, you know. Sweat. You've been there all day sweating, and you're already probably like a little dehydrated and a little fucked up. As the Beastie Boys are coming on, somebody passes around a joint, and I take a hit from this joint from a stranger, like an idiot. And I have a full like psychotic breakdown, like full anxiety attack. I have to like leave the facility. I have to sit, and I have that feeling in me for days. Okay. Now at that time, my processing of that was from doing the acid. But only recently do I rethink that and say, well, I don't know what I smoked.
It's the weed, dude.
What I mean? So I totally like blamed the psychedelics for something that probably was not the psychedelics. And not that I'm going to go off and be doing trips every weekend, but I have a different, and because of you, and also just the culture seems to be kind of catching up to the positive side of that. That I'm just, you know, I'm opening up to it. So, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. Thanks for having me.
Can you create some kind of like
office hours blend?
Yeah, like blend some kind for of us or something. Like brand it.
We have our own psychedelic.
We have our own coffee. We have socks.
Create a branded psychedelic.
Yeah.
Well, I actually want to have a side chat with you about like investing in what you're doing. I see the dollar signs of this stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, a lot of people do. I mean, yeah. I don't know that that's. If, I don't know, but
you did not recommend that. I understand.
I don't know. It's going to be like a very specialized procedure now for people with treatment resistant depression. So
right. But there really are two very distinct different ways of thinking about this. There's a therapeutic, medicinal, almost like it was with pot a few years ago. There's this conversation. And then there's like, we're all adults. And instead of drinking a fucking bottle of
vodka, I can eat a little mushrooms and have a great night and not feel like shit the next day. So like, that's the recreational side, which I think needs to be taken somewhat seriously too.
Yeah, get agreed.
Alcohol replacement. You're probably annoyed with this question, but is microdosing beneficial? Is that a real thing? Like, I mean, or is it just like in my head?
Because it's certainly the topic du jour.
Yeah, it's very trendy right now.
Yeah. The problem is that nobody knows what dose of anything they're taking to begin with, because all this stuff is a black market. So when you take half a tab of LSD, you have no idea how much was on that tab. When you microdose, you don't really, there's a lot of variation in mushrooms. So then it's like unclear what people are even talking about when they talk about microdosing, but it's been studied a little bit, and it seems that it does not readily distinguish itself from a placebo effect in the studies that have been done. But I'm sure that low dose psychedelics could, under some circumstances, confer some type of benefit. It's just a question of which psychedelic, at what dose, how frequently, for what purpose.
Right. Mm.
If psychedelics become illegal,
they are.
I mean, but more and more, will Dead End Company really have to worry about like adding so many different more shows? And
I don't know what that would, I don't, they, would they have. That to, needs to be more fleshed out.
What, what is your favorite? What's your favorite Fish song?
Doug, what? Your head dropped.
Poor Doug.
All right, peace and love, much respect, good luck, and we'll continue to talk if you.
I would love that. Be able to, all right, thanks everybody.
Thank
Bye
you,
Hamilton.
Thank you,
oh, John Mayer.
Amazing. Thanks for talking, Vic.
I'm just worried that John Mayer.
Thanks for the help.
He's
going
to be
worry
overworked.
About John Mayer, believe me.
What I mean is, he's going to be overworked because there are going to be more shows.
And who knew he was like so close friends with Bob Saget? Did you see that? John Mayer picked up Bob Saget's car from the airport.
Wait, what?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
When after
he
died?
Passed away.
I have exciting news. Yeah. I have a.
We're going to take a break.
And when we come back, I have a very, very funny. Post somebody sent me that I will read on the air live. I've read a little bit of it. It's very appealing from a comedic perspective. Okay?
And, oh, Matt, and after Emily the break, Drabinski is
And Emily Drabinski, who people must know already, is running for the president. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
We can have a little, we could slow the pace down. We don't have to be flying through everything.
I thought you were asking me.
The president of the American Library Association, that's what she's running for, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to help her, I think. I have to hear what she has to say. She might be a complete lunatic. We don't know! We don't vet our guests, but we'll be back in 5. Join us at patreon.com/officehourslive. Also, one more plug, if you're on the High Network, Exposed is now airing. Vic, you enjoyed the latest episode of Exposed.
Oh, it was amazing. It was cracking me up. Yeah. Real bad.
So that's on highnetwork.tv now. And we will be back in 5 with more show.
And this is Dancing Triangle Pumped Up Kicks Tango.
Naturally.
Hello, this is Leonard Nimoy letting you know about the Office Hours Patreon. If you sign up today, you'll get a whole other Horror Today show, plus the Joel Hole, the Compound, producer Matt's interview podcast, and lots more, all for just $5 per month or $55 for an entire year. So beam yourself up to patreon.com/officehourslive and sign up today.